break. I hope you all had a good Christmas. Nice time to relax, have some food, spend some time with family, and also to reflect on the year gone by. But this is, obviously we had Marvin here and the Bristol crew last week sharing with us about the true Christmas message. And this is now the last service we'll have before we go into the new year. But we had Christmas, and I don't know about you guys, I was in Cambridge. I spent some time with my family there, spent some time with my cousins, my aunt and uncle. It's about the first time I've been with them in a decade, so it's actually really, really nice to be with all of my family like that. But I actually had a few Christmas facts. Okay, I did a little bit of research, just some interesting facts for us for Christmas. But each year, okay, more than 3 billion Christmas cards are exchanged in the US alone. A crazy amount. The average person over Christmas, sorry, this is a bit more depressing, this one, but the average person puts on about 0.3 kilograms over Christmas. Mike told me he doubled that. He's not the average. So he's doing well. He's doing well. Here's a Santa fact, okay, for Santa believers, but in order to deliver all the presents on Christmas Eve, Santa would have needed to have traveled at 650 miles per second and visit 822 homes in 1 second alone. He's fast, right? Faster than Bolt, that's for sure. Okay, one last one. The world's largest Christmas stocking measured 106 feet and 9 inches long and 49 feet wide. They say it weighed as much as 5 reindeers and held almost 1,000 presents. It was made by the Children's Society in London on December the 14th. I know, it's crazy, there's a lot of presents. But anyway, let's get into the scriptures. Just a few facts there. So we're going to be reading from Hebrews 12, first few lines there. So now I'm just going to read verses 1 to 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Just to set a bit of context here, it talks about a cloud of witnesses. The whole of Hebrews 11 was spent explaining what's often referred to as the Hall of Fame of faith. All these incredible example of witnesses to us of their incredible faithful deeds. The likes of Noah, Abraham, these kind of characters who just did incredible things through faith. It compels us. It says to us that we should throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This word "throw off" is the same that's used in Matthew 18, where it talks about cutting your hand off if it causes you to sin, cutting your foot off because of sin, throwing it away. This kind of attitude that we should have towards sin, the kind of how we should be dealing with that. And it gives us two things which we should throw off here. It talks about everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it says that we should do that so we can run our race with perseverance. It's got me thinking about something in my own life. I used to be a swimmer. I used to swim very competitively from a young age, started about 7 or 8, and it was very, very intense. I used to train up to over 20 hours most weeks, and that was on top of school and other things. Very, very dedicated, very focused. And in swimming, there was the sin that's so easily entangled. If you broke the rules, you pull in a lame rope, you do a full star. I'm sure a lot of us have heard like the Lance Armstrong sound, you drug cheating and stuff like that. That ends your race, disqualification. But then there's other things that hinder. And that requires a bit of a different mentality. Everything that hinders, anything that slows you down, weighs you down, whatever that might be. Now, modern athletes have all the technology on top of the training and the dieting and everything else. They have all the modern technology that's needed. So I got a few props for you guys. These are my old swimming trunks. Right, I'm not going to put them on for you. It's made of a special material, kind of water repellent. You put these things and you just glide through the water. It helps streamline you, makes you so much quicker, so much better. I'm not going to put those on. And you got goggles, right? Swimming goggles. I'll show you what these look like on. So these are essential for you to see in the water. So if you don't have these on, you get water in your eyes, you're a mess. coming into walls and stuff like that, it's a nightmare. So you put these things on. I know, right? Look at that. Ready to go. Alright, ready to go. And you got this beauty right here. Okay? So your chewing cap. Now this thing is essential because your hair in the water just slows you down, weighs you down, just hinders you in every way. So you pop this bad boy on. Okay. Alright? So this way you're ready to go. Okay, total streamline, you're fast, you're gliding through the water. Okay? And here's a little confession. Alright? Don't judge me, but back in my swimming days, I also used to shave my legs. Okay? True story. She said, often my arms as well. Because even with the swimming trunks on, sometimes little bits of hairs will poke through. And that stuff, if you're swimming competitively, that stuff will mess up, it'll slow you down and ruin your race. I'm saying this stuff you can take me seriously. But, so, you know, I might have got marks back in the time. Probably right now, I look kind of silly with a hand goggles on in church. That's very true. And rightly so, because we're in church. But back in the day, you know, I would have been shaved my legs, I'd have worn the gear, I'd have done what I needed to. Maybe I'd have got mocked at school. Boys don't shave their legs, and that's right, you shouldn't really. But, maybe I got mocked, but honestly, I didn't really care. It didn't matter to me at all. It didn't matter what people said, it didn't matter about the sacrifices, it didn't matter what I had to do, because I had a goal, I had a purpose, I was very, very dedicated, very focused on what I wanted to achieve. And I was going to do anything possible, anything within my power, to achieve the goals that I'd set out for myself, whatever it took. And that's the attitude we need to have in our Christian lives. You know, my first point is an attitude of excellence. Because the Christian life is not one of box ticking. It's not one of doing the bare minimum. You know, just doing the right things. I'll go to church, maybe I'll avoid the bad sins, you know, oh yeah, the sin easy tangles. But that's not the attitude we're meant to have as Christians. The attitude we're meant to have is doing everything possible in our power. Is pursuing excellence as disciples, pursuing excellence in our lives, being the best we possibly can be. Our attitude should be that of throwing off absolutely anything that hinders us in our lives. Anything that comes between us and pursuing God wholeheartedly, with everything we've got, all our strength, our mind, our soul. Anything that hinders us, slows us down, weighs us down in any shape or form needs to be thrown off. That's the heart and attitude we really need to have. Do you guys have that? Do we have that attitude of excellence in our Christian lives? Or maybe we're not Christians. Do we have an attitude to want to do everything in our power to pursue that? You know, and what hinders you? Because often things that hinder, they're not necessarily bad. You know, in swimming, if I didn't have a hat and goggles on, I wouldn't have got disqualified. I'd have been able to swim. I'd have partaken the race. But I wouldn't have been winning. You know, I wouldn't have been pursuing it. I wouldn't have been doing the best I could have been. You know, we're not set on this race to be also-rans. It's not just about being, you know, it's not just about doing the bare minimum. It's about running with everything we have, throwing off everything that hinders us in any way. And like I said, those aren't necessarily inherently bad things. Sometimes they're good things, but we have too much of it, or we use them in the wrong ways. So many things, you know, worldly music and entertainment, stuff like this can really be a real hindrance. And then this race can be very subtle sometimes with the things that get into our minds and our hearts through that stuff. Even watching too much TV. You know, I definitely sometimes want to switch off and just shut down. And that's okay. It's good to enjoy these things, but not too much of them. So anything, our careers, possessions, food, popularity, wealth, relationships, and even the pursuit of health and happiness can be a hindrance. These things can distract, distort, and weigh us down. We really need to throw off anything that hinders. We need to run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us. My second point is to keep your eyes on the prize. What it talks about here is it says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now, Jesus, he had a goal. He was very focused. And let's be clear, that joy was not the cross. That wasn't the joy set before him. He didn't consider that a joy. He scorned it. He hated it. The very idea of a perfect, holy, sinless being being united with all the sin of the world, it would have just repulsed his very being. But he did that because of the joy that was set before him. He was able to look beyond the cross at the reason and the purpose of what he was doing and why he was doing it. I know for Olympic athletes, and they don't enjoy the training and hours and the pain and the sacrifice. That stuff isn't the joy. It's done for a purpose. Now, I've got a great quote from Muhammad Ali. He said, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion." And I know for me, you have to say my word there, but I didn't enjoy shaving my legs. Yeah, that wasn't what I'd normally do. I don't do that now. But that was done for a purpose. And you'd have to say my word on that, I promise. But it was done for a purpose. It's done for a specific goal, for something that's beyond that. And unfortunately, that, for me, was a very worldly goal. That wasn't God-focused. It was self-focused. It wasn't about God. I didn't even believe in God, really, back then. I mean, it was done for me. And often these goals are. Often we can have very worldly goals. But in Corinthians, I'm just going to quote from there. It says, in Corinthians 9, it says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." I had very worldly goals back then. Often we can have a very worldly mentality on things. But God has laid out in front of us a race worth running, a prize worth winning, a heavenly prize, an incredible thing that is worth sacrificing everything and absolutely anything for. Now, I don't know who originally came up with this, but it's coined the formula for spiritual success. So, probably, it's not actual scripture, but, you know, it's very cool. But it says, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. You know, our focus needs to be on heavenly things. There's so many things to distract us. There's so many things to weigh us down. There's so many things to even completely suffocate and strangle and entangle us and get us out of the race. There's so many excuses we can make. I know for me, a big thing that holds me down is often my past. So I can often dwell on my mistakes, my failures, and I really can feel that so deeply a lot of the time. That can really be a weight and a hindrance to me. It can hold me back and slow me down in the present. We've got to be able to throw all of these things off. You know, it's so much easier to endure present trials or to even go through what we're going now when we have our mind set on the purpose of those things. You know, we know that if we continue and don't give up, we'll reap a harvest of righteousness from the things we're going now. And you know, even when things are going well, even when things are good, we can get arrogant. We can make it about ourselves. When things are bad, we want to give up. When they're going well, we get arrogant. That's not what it's about. We need to have our mind fixed on what's really important. We need to focus and fix our eyes on Jesus. Focus on our purpose here. And have a heart that wants to throw off anything that hinders. And we're coming into the new year. It's our Christmas break. We had a great chance to relax, to enjoy time with family, to reflect, hopefully. Hopefully we've all had a good chance to reflect on the year that's gone by. And thinking how that went. Did you, you know, maybe you set goals for yourself. Did you achieve those goals? How did it go? You know, did you get done what you wanted to get done? Maybe you didn't. The great thing is, however it went, you know, we can take lessons, we can learn and enjoy the experiences. We can put it all behind us. We're about to start a new year. It's a time of New Year's resolutions. You know, so many people think, oh, what do I want to do this year? What do I want to start? Yeah, so few New Year's resolutions actually make it to the end of the year. For some of you, which is sad. The great thing is we have a strength from God to be able to, whatever we set our mind on, whatever we set our focus on, we're going to achieve not just in a year, but for the rest of our lives. That's a very exciting thing. But I really hope and pray for all of us that this year we can set goals for this year. That we can set and focus and say, okay, what do I want to be reflecting on this time next year? What do I want to look back on and think, oh, yeah, that was a good year. And let's focus our mind on those. But let's have a plan to achieve them. And remember the power we have available to us to be able to do that. But let's look even beyond that. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on eternity. On eternity in heaven with God. You know, it's just for the joy set before him. And I think, what was that joy? What was the joy for Jesus? I definitely think a big part of it was sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an incredible thing that would have been. Through the trials that Jesus went through, to be able to be reunited with his Father in heaven. How incredible that must have been for him. But I definitely think a part of that was us. You know, a lot of Jesus' purpose of being on earth was securing salvation for all of us. What an incredible goal that was. You can imagine the joy set before Jesus was eternity in heaven with us. Now, honestly, I wouldn't really consider it much of a joy to spend eternity with me. I'm not sure I'd subject many people to that, but Jesus considered that a joy. You know, to be united with us here on earth, and for us to have great uniting with God here on earth, but also to be able to spend eternity with Him. That was a joy, and He endured the cross, He scorned its shame for that very purpose. And we have an opportunity to have our eyes fixed on heavenly things. And the Bible talks about us being foreigners, citizens of another kingdom, aliens, that we just don't belong here. This isn't really our home, this is temporary, it's going to fade away. We can be so focused and fixed on the things of this life that we forget about anything beyond it. Get so wrapped up and warped into this life that we forget what we're really living for, what our real purpose is here. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And today's an opportunity to do that. In every moment is, and every day, but especially now as we come to the new year, we're about to come to the cross and take communion. It's a real chance for us to fix our eyes on Jesus. It's a real chance for us to focus on heavenly things. I think what's really important. So much of Christmas, such a thing for materialism and presents and doing this, and that can be an enjoyable thing to spend time with family, but now is a great opportunity for us to focus on heavenly things. To think of God in heaven, to think of why we're here, why we're living, what we're really doing. So guys, as we come to the cross, let's throw off everything that hinders. Even right now, maybe we need to make decisions in our hearts to throw off things that we know are hindering us. We kind of want to hold on to. But we need to do that today. Before we come to God, let's make sure we're throwing off everything that hinders. Let's make sure we're pursuing excellence. We need attitudes of excellence in our Christian life to do everything we possibly can to be the best that we can for God. And that's one with perseverance. The race marks out for us. So let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you that you have laid out such an incredible path for us. Thank you that you sent your example through Jesus, an example that we must follow, God. Thank you for his incredible, incredible example and love for us, God. That he endured the cross. He persevered through the trials, through those temptations, through those difficulties, through incredible humiliation, God, for us. Because there was a joy that was set before him. The cross wasn't a joy, God, but there was a joy beyond it. He was able to look past the cross to the joy that's set before it, God. And we have such an incredible joy in heaven, in you, God. And that can help us endure through present trials or challenges, God. It even helps us get through the good times. Focused on you. But we always need to have our eyes fixed and focused on you, on heavenly things. So Father God, I pray we can have an attitude of throwing off everything that hinders. In my own life and in all of us as a church, God, I pray that we can just throw off anything that slows us down, that weighs us down, in any way hinders us from wholeheartedly being able to pursue you, love you and serve you, God. So I pray today as we come to the cross that we can really remember the impact this has had on our lives, dear Father God, and the incredible gift that we have available in you, the strength, the love, the support we have in you as our Father God. And I pray that we can be focused and remember the eternity that we'll have to spend with you in heaven. And I pray that we can run with perseverance this race of life marks out for us, the incredible race that you've laid on for us, God. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.